God is good.
All of the time.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. We have finally arrived at the end of our journey through the letter to the Ephesians. The past several weeks, the Apostle Paul has been unpacking for us some important doctrines and behaviors in Christ. From chapters 1 to 5, he talked about our blessings, our oneness, our unity and harmony, our walk, and our marriage. As a way of summarizing his letter, Paul now discusses our spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. He begins by saying, finally. The word finally doesn't indicate that Paul is bringing his letter to a conclusion with this section of scripture. Rather, he's about to tell his readers how to respond in light of all that he has said from chapters 1 to 5 of his letter. Since the doctrines and behaviors in Christ laid out by Paul from chapters 1 to 5 of his letter will meet with some resistance from Satan and his co-host, Paul wants us to prepare for spiritual warfare. In our epistle reading, he reveals to us 3 points about our spiritual warfare in order to get us prepared. Paul's first point is the strength for our spiritual warfare. Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength, power of his might. The strength for our spiritual warfare is in the Lord and in his power. In Christ, we are strengthened for our daily spiritual warfare. We draw our strength from Christ and him alone. In union with him, we possess sufficient and adequate strength for our spiritual battles. Let's not forget that spiritual battles are spiritual in nature. Therefore, we cannot fight in our own strength, but in the strength of Jesus Christ. Scripture declares that without him, we can do nothing, but in him and with him, we are more than conquerors. We do not only draw our strength from him for our spiritual warfare, but we also draw our strength from his strength, from his power. There is an inherent active achieving power of Christ available to us that we can draw from. At the moment we believe in Christ and God baptized, all of God's power and resources and might were put at our disposal. When we are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, no power can stand against us. As we face spiritual battles, God empowers us. He assures us victory and promises he will be there fighting right along with us. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Christ and in his might, we are strong to face the enemy. Let the Lord be your strength. Paul's second point is this: the strategy for our spiritual warfare. The strategy for our spiritual warfare. Paul says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The whole armor of God is the equipment that God provides for our spiritual warfare. Schemes has to do with plans and designs of the enemy. Paul also says in verse 13, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and to stand firm. So the strategy for our spiritual warfare is to put on and to take up the armor of God. Paul, using a series of metaphors, describes seven pieces of the armor of God that we are to take up. One, the belt of truth. The belt of truth represents the truth found in God's word and in the person of Jesus Christ. We must know the truth to protect ourselves against the lies of the devil. Two, the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness represents the righteousness of Christ. We have no righteousness of our own apart from Christ's righteousness. Living a right life rooted in God's word defeats the enemy. Number three, the sinners with the gospel of peace represents a firm foundation in the gospel. As Christians, we have a firm foundation in the gospel and peace in knowing that we are secure in what Jesus Christ has done for us. Number four, the shield of faith. It represents our faith. By faith, we must stand fast. We must be steadfast when we go into battle with the enemy. We must trust in God's protection and promises. Number five, the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation represents our salvation. It empowers us to fight. When you know without doubt that you are going to heaven because of Christ, not even death can defeat you. Number six, the sword of the Spirit. It represents the word of God. With the word of God, we can fight a good and great fight against the enemy. And number seven, prayer. Prayer represents communicating with God. In prayer, we can show our reliance upon God to act and to move. We must fight our spiritual battles on our knees. A prayerful Christian is a powerful Christian. Ultimately, to take up these seven pieces of the armor of God is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ daily. Paul says in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. We might be engaged in daily spiritual battles, but Jesus has already won our spiritual war. On the cross where he suffered and died, Jesus gave a decisive blow to our enemy Satan and broke the power of his forces of evil. Our part now is to put on and to take up the armor of God as the strategy for our warfare. Paul's third point is the struggle of our spiritual warfare. So Paul does not only deal with the strength of our spiritual warfare, he does not only deal with the strategy of our spiritual warfare, but he deals with the struggle of our spiritual warfare. Paul says in verse 12, we do not wrestle. To struggle means to wrestle. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers of darkness, and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The picture of warfare here implies that we do not face a physical army or human beings. The passage seems to suggest a hierarchy of evil spirit beings who are doing the bidding of Satan in opposing the will of God on earth. God's enemy is Satan and his demons. Though we cannot see them physically, it doesn't mean they do not exist. There is a spiritual conflict going on around us. The devil is doing his best to disrupt and undermine the kingdom of God and the children of God's kingdom. However, we ought not to be afraid, because the victory of our spiritual war has already been won. Our spiritual struggle against Satan and his cohorts has a victorious end in Jesus Christ. Victory in our spiritual warfare is sure, because the battle we fight are not ours, but the Lord's. Victory is sure in the strength, in the strategy and struggle of our spiritual warfare. As Luther says in an old hymn, though this world with devils fill, should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to trump through us. In Christ, we are victorious in our spiritual warfare against Satan and his cohorts. Hallelujah. Amen.